another production from Solid Gold Podcast. Fancy.
And life is very fancy when you're doing all kinds of things and you have somebody to impress in the studio with you. Jenny in France, how are you, first of all?
Hello, I'm very well. How are you, Mel, and your lovely guest?
No, absolutely delightful. It is absolutely delightful in Johannesburg today. And the studio has been brightened up somewhat by somebody who generally comes around and gives people a bit of a whacking on television.
Yeah, we can depress people on Sundays quite often.
No, you're going to depress all of us all the way through the week as well. No, it's Derek Watts from Carte Blanche who's in studio with us today. A very exciting kind of thing that we're happening, of course, because now they have their own podcast, so they can bring a podcast out to people all over the world as well.
Yeah, we've got Carte Blanche, the podcast, and great team putting it together. We've got our online editor, Lausanne Janssen van Rensburg, and Dan Dews, who lives and breathes podcasts. And, well, as you say, the idea is to bring it to a South African audience, a wider audience, who maybe haven't got DSTV, and to expats who want to keep their finger on the pulse of what's happening in South Africa, and hopefully sometimes some good news.
Well, Jenny and I are pretty much all about the good news most of the time, aren't we, Jen? But I mean, it's like, Derek, how long have you actually been doing Carte Blanche for? I was trying to work it out and thinking, I'm not going to Google it, but I know it seems like forever.
Well, Mel, you could have actually brought me a cake today. Because today is our 34th.
34th? Really?
34th year of Carte Blanche.
Yeah. Wow. No way. Happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Whoa. Yeah, streamers. Hey, fantastic. So yes, Jenny.
That means that you are at least 34 years old, because I was telling Melanie, I Googled last week in preparation for today, and it says that nobody knows how old you are. But you're definitely 34.
No, I'll give you a clue. I started at the age of 12.
Right.
But these things, the changes over the years, and now these podcasts, which are pretty new to me in the way they compile, because we have got a visual element that we now have to transform into an audible element, and that's what Dan and Lausanne do. But look, they add a lot to it, so you can't just take that episode and transform it into the
sample. So, Derek,
special elements. Yes, what would you like?
I would love to know, so it's not an excerpt. Is it something separate? Is it sort of a recording of an interview that you've done while preparing for the show? Sort of how is it, how do your podcasts work?
Well, interesting that you ask that, because we are going to extend them to like producers' comments and a look back at some shows and, not all just episodes, but at the moment, well, we've got about 30 episodes out. We download one every weekday, and we take that 8 to 10 minute, or sometimes it's longer episode, and transform it into a podcast, Carte Blanche the podcast. And that's what we do. And it's amazing how they transform, and it's stories from the SANDF to what is called Truck the Bridge, or the one in Cape Town where all the trucks get stuck. I mean, that transformed well into a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it was called What the Truck.
What the Truck. I like that. That's a good name, yeah.
And it was Bridget who swallowed many trucks in her day for many years.
I thought you said Bridget swallowed it.
Well, hold on
there. That would be really weird.
But it's really clever. Bridget. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bridget's quite a feature, in Muesenberg. Uses many people, but not the truck drivers.
And Derek, I mean, for expats, like, I firmly believe, because, Carte Blanche is on Showmax International. Yeah. So in some countries, they can get it. But there are many countries, like all those expats in North America, who are now going to be able to get Carte Blanche because of your podcast, which is fantastic. And I find that I think that you really do touch on the main issues going on in South Africa. And I've also noticed that you actually do have at least one good news every week.
You've noticed that. Well, that's fantastic because it has been rather deliberate. You know, we've got a new executive producer, John Webb, who's quite a visionary. And we don't want to make it a totally light item. So in carte blanche sort of the genre, it may be light. But, yeah, it's a more interesting feel-good story, Jenny. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you might even get two feel-good stories. And there have been a few of those as well. But yeah, no, we're making a conscious effort to leave viewers, listeners now on podcast in a good mood. Think, yeah, life's worth living.
Absolutely. I mean, we can't just keep on looking at the doom and gloom. And I mean, I just remember, because a long, long time ago, and we're talking about, I know you were already doing the show, and I can't remember when it was that I was doing it. I worked as a scriptwriter and researcher for Carte Blanche Africa.
Yes, I was presenting it at that stage.
Yeah, so I think we worked together once or twice then.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even want to say how long ago it is. But I mean, we're also, no. I'm happy to give away my age. So how old are you?
How much are you charging?
You can have my age. How does that sound? Jenny, he does not look any different from when I first met him all those years ago.
So those operations are working, eh?
I swear to God, he's like, he's got some kind of magic elixir here, and he has to give us a story.
I thank you for that, but you know, you've got to look at Rian Kreewagen. His hair's still, you know, beautiful brown, his eyes are twinkly blue, you know, so I can't compete with Rian.
But I mean, this is not photoshopped though, because I have to sit right next to him, so I mean, most of the time you look at people and think, maybe they just photoshopped their pictures, sort of what a lot of people do.
Yeah. No, but Derek, I actually saw you about, I can't remember now, 4 or 5 years ago, but you seriously, we recognized you straight away, and I'm sure it happens to you all over the world, that South Africans recognize you because you haven't changed. And it was at, I don't know if you remember, going on holiday to the Antibes food market.
Yes, I remember it well. We'd driven down from Monaco, yeah.
Yes, and then you were complaining about all the bicycles. You couldn't believe how many cyclists there were.
No, but you know what I was saying is, yeah, I wanted a little Fiat 500, but when you're hiring a car there at that time of year, the small cars go for a big price, but otherwise you've got to take a big car, and those roads are narrow. And I love my little Fiat, you know, I drive a Fiat, an Abarth, I must say.
Abarth, sorry. Abarth is nice.
500.
Isn't it Abarth?
And I've been testing a Ford Raptor for this week, because I ride on cars, and I love it. It's a great bucky, but I'm not traditionally a bucky boy, you know, and I go into, you know, a crowded shopping center and try and park this thing, and they think, wow, now this guy, hey, give me back that Fiat 500. But yeah, the Raptor was great, but I'm always happy to get back into the 500.
Listen, the Cinquecento is a lovely little car. I would definitely love it, except my mechanic just turned around and said to me, my name is not Tony.
Oh.
He says, because it's like Fiat, fix it again, Tony. He says, my name's not Tony.
Okay, I get it.
Anyway, so but now we've got the whole thing with Carte Blanche getting a podcast, and we're doing a lovely little thing with them here. But what I want to know is, what did you think about the rugby on, I mean, and this is something Jenny and I both speak about rugby a lot, and we had so much joy last week. And then, of course, this week, you know.
Well, I had a different take on the game. Because on Friday, one of our editors, Chwaitisa, who I call Nan, said, would I mind doing a story on the Guijo squad? And they are these supporters, mainly from the Eastern Cape, who are really inclusive and who they bring along to the games. And they mainly sing Xhosa songs. And, of course, I knew all the words here. But we sat in segment at Emirates Airline Park, and boy, they party and they sing, and they are loved by the Springbok squad. Mm-hmm. And Sia actually came round to actually thank the Guijo squad, and we've got a story on the Guijo squad. And this morning I was at I keep on wanting to say Ellis Park, but
it is Ellis Park as far as we're concerned.
It's Emirates Airline Park, and had a lovely interview with Rassie Erasmus. And it was so good to see him again and just to chat to him. You know, he's so natural. Yeah, you know, I'd like to be as natural as Rassie. You know, Rassie is just himself, eh? And it has got him into trouble. And he's banned, you know, from until November the 5th, which is his birthday. So I said, you know, Rassie, on November the 5th, when you unbanned...
Please don't go and mess it up again, yeah.
we're going to celebrate. But yeah, no, he's an incredible guy. And so I watched the match with the Guijos, and they tend to stand up a lot and sing and chant, which is great. And I was with them, hey, you check out my moves there, hey, no, I had a few going. So I was mainly watching on the big screen.
Yeah.
And look, it was an amazing match. We just lost a few opportunities, and the game swung with that line out on their line, which was suddenly a penalty right in front of, you know, the posts for the All Blacks. So anyway, we don't cry. Hey, we don't cry.
No, but it's going to make an exciting third match. Okay, that's all there
is to it. And we're off to Aussie, and but a lot of rugby ahead before the World Cup.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, Ellis Park. We got to get over this.
Emirates Airline Park. What?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
It was just such a vibe.
Yeah.
Wow. And everything just has to coordinate. You know, the ground announcer was fantastic. His name Robbie Cruz. He was very good. And, you know, the fireworks have to go up at the right time, and the music.
And the praise singers come out, and the haka happens. Oh, my gosh, it's wonderful.
I saw Rudolf Strauli at the ground today, and he said, you know, playing for the Springboks was easy. Getting a game organized is really a lot harder.
Is Strauli still around? Because I remember when he was the coach for that little while, and they had the where they took all the people in, and they had to try and fight for their place within the Springbok squad up at Loftus. I mean, that was in 2002. I think it was the last time I actually even saw him.
Yeah, I think he played a few years after that. And, lovely guy.
Mm.
And there is a rejuvenation in rugby. Now, of course, we're back, you know, at the ground, so... Yeah, it's super day there, and you watched it?
Yep. Oh, no, my blood is green.
Were you at the ground?
No, I actually prefer watching it. If I go and watch a rugby match and I'm sitting at the stadium, I end up watching the screen.
Yeah.
Because, usually
even when the Guijos aren't there.
But the whole thing is that I was always sitting at, like, ground level, you know, because we were presenting. So it was a case of I couldn't actually see what was happening on the field. So you sit there and you're watching the screen because you can actually see what is happening with the action. So
yeah.
I think also being out of television, we're used to watching screens rather than watching things right in front of us, especially if you can't see it properly.
Well, Mel, this is the first game that I've been to for 5 years because I'm so intense. You know, I used to be a sports presenter, started Top Sport with Martin Locke.
I remember those days.
You remember the maroon jacket?
Yes.
Wow, didn't we look posh?
You were very smart in your maroon jackets.
It's the only time that I've had my hair highlighted. For Top Sport, can you imagine it? Hey?
And I was doing Bonus Sport at that time, yeah. So we were all sports presenters at some stage or another.
I had to wear one of those foil dookies.
Did you do it like that? Oh, dear.
Well, I suppose it was back in the day. But from Top Sport, you know, I'm quite sort of intense about watching. And you just don't see the game at the ground, you know.
You don't. You're right.
And if you're in a suite, if you're lucky enough to be in a suite, you go and watch on the TV screen, you know. So, yeah.
But we're looking forward to the rugby, I must say. And it was so exciting to see the way that people respond. I do get, like, everybody blaming the ref. Get over it. Everybody blames the ref. So what?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It is what it is, guys. Move on. And I think the team moves on and they appreciate you being kind of more positive.
And at that level... You know, a bounce of the ball, a missed kick can just change the game.
Mm.
You know, so, and that's what happens, you know, and that's why you got to polish all your skills.
You have to polish your skills.
Yeah, and I've been polishing mine for a long time.
Are you going to go and play rugby? Woohoo! Okay, so, I mean, what kind of impact do you think that Carte Blanche is going to have for people overseas who are, or people that don't have DSTV that can't watch Carte Blanche? I mean, do you think it's going to make an impact in bringing people in together or more stories coming to Carte Blanche that might not have actually been...
Well, you're right. It could be a source of stories. But it, I think it's really, they like to stay in touch. You know, once you've left South Africa, I've spoken to people over there, and they just want to know what's going on. So these podcasts are an ideal way. And I hear that some people overseas even miss the Carte Blanche jingle. Can you believe it? Which I get sort of these memes every Sunday. I'm Derek Watts, and your weekend is over. So now the podcast, we can say, you know,
We're just beginning.
It's not over.
It's not over.
But it's been a very long journey with you guys. I mean, I sit back and think about the original days. I mean, the original presenters is Manu.
At first, it was just Rudo and myself.
Rudo and yourself, yes. And then Manu came in.
Then Manu, yeah. And I added it up the other day, and it was something like 24 presenters we've had.
And you're the only one that's still there.
Yes. It's been a long, long road.
Have you gathered like a lot of interesting friends along the way who stay with you, or each week do you dive in and then dive out?
I don't know quite what you mean by interesting friends, but I know I've got some interesting enemies, so I have to watch my back a lot.
Do you still have trouble with that? I mean, do people like want to... I know that, I remember when Isabel Jones was still around, and people used to actually threaten. She used to have all those threats as well.
She was attacked in that motorbike shop.
I mean, do you have those kind of things happening to you because you're reporting on it? Do you have people like death threats? Do you ever feel unsafe?
I have to say there have been a few. But it's not the threats you worry about, it's when they carry them out. But that came down to a list of people to take out. And we went to Mike Bullhase's office. Now, you know, Mike Bullhase is an investigator supreme and his team. And what happened is this fellow had brought his wife and his son with a list of people to be, I won't say taken out like dead, but it was A, B, and C. So A was a club, B was a heavy club, C was hospital for a long time. And presented this to Mike Bullhase, and by that stage Mike had alerted us, and we had like police in the cupboards, we had cameras everywhere, they were arrested, spent the weekend in jail, but got away in the court case with entrapment. Which sometimes I don't sometimes I don't understand the legal system, but yeah, there you had the list, you had the money, and still found not
guilty. Who else was on the list?
The producer, and a few of the people who had caused problems and had snitched on him, because he was selling formulas for one-armed bandits at casinos, and making a lot of money, and they didn't work. But there have been there have been a few cases, and you have to be aware. But it's quite a nice feeling to go to Emirates Airline Park, got it right this time, and just meet literally thousands and thousands of people, and have selfies with them, or I believe you call them ussies these days.
Really?
Yeah, so a selfie would be yourself, hey? So if you're having one with somebody else now, an ussie, can you believe that?
Let me do an ussie quickly. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to do an ussie for us there.
Okay.
So we can see. Bring yourself in. Okay, so I've done an ussie, which I'm going to send to Jenny.
Yeah, so it was nice going there and seeing all these people and not one club me. So it's a good sign.
I did hear that recently, I think it was a month or two ago, Carte Blanche went to a restaurant on their way somewhere to film, and the restaurant owner, you know, came storming out and said, "What do you want?" And all you guys really wanted was to eat, but they thought you were there to do a story.
No, that's true, Jan. It happens a lot when you just, I don't know, going to a shop or go for a meal. And we did that series on restaurants where we checked the kitchens, and then we had the other one on mainly the fish restaurants where we checked whether they were using
if they were using red label or red tag or whatever they call it.
Those ones. And so I suppose people are suspicious. And while you're sitting there just chatting, they're sort of loitering nearby.
Dolph, you just need to arrive in a helicopter. Then they know you're just there for fun. Okay.
Have you checked the Carte Blanche budgets?
Nothing like our budgets used to be, that's for sure. But I mean, it is obviously, is it the longest running show in South Africa at this stage?
I think it must be. It used to be Noot for Noot. Your favorite program.
Of course, Noot for Noot is still going, isn't it?
But it's had seasons, it's had breaks. So I think we've been on air since the start. Sunday at 7 since the start. So I reckon we are the longest running program.
Do you ever get tired of it?
Not really. Sometimes getting up at 3:30 to fly to Kaberge.
He's got the clicks down nicely.
Yeah. I've been having lessons, and lessons from Roseanne Bishop. Or then we went to Hotazel in the Northern Cape.
One of the few places I have not been to.
There's not much there.
So I know.
Don't make a special trip. But a lovely little B&B, and they made some wonderful cappuccino for us. And that story's
and
coming out on Sunday.
Did you go for the wildflowers?
No. There weren't many wildflowers at all.
No, we were just too early. They started this week.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Jeez,
yeah, it's
maybe
usually
we should
through
go back
September.
There, then.
You need to go in the middle of September for the best viewings.
Can you organize our diaries, Mel? So
I'll be your tour guide. How's that? I'm like really good as a tour guide. But what stories? Obviously you've got various stories that are coming up on Carte Blanche. Stuff that you've done, stuff that you're still following through. But what stories for you at the moment that you're not covering are things that you think are really feel good stories? I mean, obviously we look at things like we got a new Miss South Africa. Did you go to the Miss South Africa?
No, I watched it. Yeah, and I think it was very well produced and a super winner. Yeah, so that's some good news.
Can you say her name?
Of course I can. And the good news stories we're looking at are like personal profiles mainly. Mm. You know, sports teams, we're doing a story on Bayana. This Banyana. I'll get it right.
Banyana.
You see, and it's just a sign that women's sport is just taking off.
Yeah.
But even this week, I mean, it was the Springbok women's who won their match as
yes,
well.
By a huge margin.
Yeah. Fantastic. Go women.
They look in all sports. Golf, women's golf. Their golf is just superb, and
I
just want to see a tournament. Ashley won the Open. Yeah, I'd like to see a tournament or more tournaments, which are played totally. How could I put it? Men and women together, and the women play off their tees, which they would in any competition. And it's just
and
an
golf,
open tournament.
Why does it have to be? Why does it have to be men and women?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand with rugby you wouldn't want to be facing down like Uli Schmidt or somebody, Kobus Visser coming after you. Forget that.
Yes.
It's a freight train coming through.
Or his son. But I think it'd be such fun to have a tournament like that because most women golfers' short games are incredible.
Mm.
But obviously, driving is probably the only area where they're a bit behind the guys. But I'm sure they'll even catch up one day. But that's what I'd like to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, Jen, what stories have you got? I mean, like the ones that I know is we touched on it last week was people overseas giving Europeans tips on how to deal with load shedding.
Well, Mel, it was so funny because we spoke about it on the show, and honestly, within days, it actually became a thing. So in England, the BBC actually had a show where they had an expert on to explain what load shedding means and using load shedding and referring to South Africa. And then the Telegraph did the same with a big headline saying South African style load shedding coming to England soon. So we predicted it, but hopefully it doesn't happen. If it happens, it's in January. Hopefully it doesn't.
Well, we started again yesterday. Yippee. We all got this collective sigh, went around the country again, except in Cape Town, of course, where they don't seem to have it quite as bad as we do up here. But
Carte Blanche did a show on that. Carte Blanche, you guys actually went and looked at Steenbras Dam at a pump engine there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I think we just have to get Elon Musk back here and
No. He's buying Manchester United apparently today. Yeah, we heard this this morning, yeah.
But then he said it was just a joke.
Yeah, he's just going to throw things up and buy everything.
No.
It would
it
be
like
nice if he'd come back.
He was going to buy Twitter and
That was a joke.
That was a joke at the end of the
but
day.
But now it's becoming a court case.
I know.
For over 30 years, we've been uncovering high-level corruption, holding crooks accountable, and meeting a few inspiring and intriguing characters along the way. Now, join us as we take a step in a new direction. with Carte Blanche, the podcast. Unique stories, unique perspectives, with new episodes uploaded throughout the week, available anytime, anywhere. That's Carte Blanche, the podcast. Find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts.
So what other news stories have come up against? I mean, one of the ones I know that I've been watching and keeping an eye on, of course, is the birth of the new baby rhino, whose mother was actually an orphaned rhino as well. So, you know, it still freaks me out that there's still this thing where these people are poaching rhinos unstoppably. That is one thing that's really freaking me out.
But it was such a beautiful footage, because this is the first time that a birth has been captured so closely on film. And it was actually his carer. So since she was orphaned, this guy has taken care of her and is basically protecting her all the time. And so she actually let him be close up while she was giving birth, which is, you know, not normal. Normally she would have gone somewhere more private. So that's why we all got this, you know, really precious footage. So that was really hopeful. And then, you know, on the good side for South Africa, with the Russian bans and everything on fossil fuel, you know, some South African companies have gone from charging $75 a ton to $240. So I think the half-year profits this year for South African companies, coal companies, is 20 times bigger than the same time last year. So, I mean, it's awful, but it's a little bit of good news too. And then on bright good news is Amapiano, which is so South African and basically, you know, came from the townships. It is so going global. So it's here in France, Morocco, even Japan.
Okay, you have to explain what it is, Jenny. I don't know what it
is. It's kind of like a fusion of house and jazz music. It's really cool. It's really, really cool. Often on TikTok, you know, it's the kind of stuff that goes viral. And Spotify says that this month, by the end of this month, it should have, Amapiano music would have had over 1 billion downloads.
Wow, we have to get onto it.
I think he should.
Carte Blanche story.
Yeah.
There we come.
Stick with us, kid. Hey, we'll show you where to go for the news, for the good news. That's what it's about. And it is actually quite exciting from the point of view, like you saying, you know, this whole podcast thing is a new thing to you. I've been doing it for a while now, which is lovely. But getting people in South Africa to understand that podcasting is kind of like not going to take over from radio, because I think radio is still going to be the primary information source for the majority of people around the country, and the SABC News and things like that. But
when you've got a special interest and you've got the time or you're on a road trip, so that's when I listen to a lot of podcasts. Mm. And Belinda picks the podcasts.
Yeah.
And normally they're pretty good. Otherwise, we listen to an audiobook. Yeah.
So what have you been listening to in the way of podcasts?
Well. Good question. Carte Blanche, SANDF.
Yeah.
And quite a few of the Carte Blanche podcasts. I started listening to that original group who did those investigations, and they were just so well done. And I was speaking to Gavin earlier, and he said they weren't right at the start of podcasts, but they did a lot to really get them going and increase their popularity.
Mm.
But we used to be engrossed in these stories and the characters. You know, they were sort of from the mid-west or whatever.
They were
very well done.
Well, I belong on a group, they call themselves the Podorati, and it's like... one of the Rafaeli girls and Paige Nick and a whole bunch of, like, you know, the real serious journalists. And I sometimes sit there and I'm going, like, they're listening to all this heavy stuff and I'm just listening to No Such Thing as a Fish.
I was told to say where we're available.
Oh, please do. Which platforms are you on?
It's available on all platforms.
Like we are as well. So there we can
go. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, and other apps, or from the Carte Blanche website.
So you just go on to carteblanche.co.za and go and find the podcast thing and just say, listen here.
Listen to it.
Be heard. You're going to be hearing him. Is it just you on the podcast? Or?
No, it's the team. It's absolutely the team. So, and you know who the team is. We've got the wonderful Claire, and we've got Marsa and Mac and me.
Oh, okay.
That's the team. So now it's all of us.
Great. Okay.
And then the producer as well, John Webb, who I think often has things to say, doesn't he?
Yeah, he puts in some commentary and obviously listens to them first. And, Lizanne and Dan do most of the work. And, yeah, the results are incredible. So subscribe and listen.
Yes.
My advert
and
for the day.
We will definitely, and I will tell all my friends overseas, but it would also be nice when you list the podcast that you're listening to. I hope in future you're going to listen to the SA People podcast.
I will do now that I know what it's all about. You see, you've got to learn.
He's going to steal our news, Jenny.
And you've been asking lots of questions, but are you based in France, Jenny?
Yes, yes.
Whereabouts?
I came here for a year and just stayed in Antibes. Where I met you.
Yeah. Okay, so you were there then. Because I do some motoring writing, and Deirdre Lutz, our editor, moved to a lovely house near Le Mans. And
nice.
Double story, three bedroom. So I said, wow, what did that cost? She said it was 1.5 million with all the fees, lawyers' fees, taxes, etc. So I said, okay, still, but that's euros. So she said, no, rand.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
So depending where you want to live in France, now,
yeah.
If you want to live on Antibes or, you know, Monte Carlo, just forget about it.
Mm.
But there are places, and I think you know, Jenny, where the villages, and I went on a cycling tour through parts of France where we thought, what's happening? We go through a village. Because I like to put on the French accent.
Le village. Yes.
Baby did not see a Dirk.
Dirk is not named.
So a lot of these villages are pretty deserted. So you can buy a place. In fact, 1.5 is quite a lot.
Mm.
So I think the website's French Properties. You'll see houses from about a million.
You can even buy a village.
Even the whole village.
Oui, there are some.
What would I do with
and then have all your friends.
The village idiot. The idiot.
But you're loving it over there, Jenny.
I do. But, you know, I'm very connected to South Africa because I'm writing about South African news every day. So it's the perfect life. It really is. And I've got friends from South Africa flying over today. So I don't ever lose touch.
And we've got SA people to just keep us all together.
Absolutely. We are the portal to keep everyone together, except our heads, of course. But now, how long are you going to keep on doing Carte Blanche for?
Realistically, probably another year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I said another 34 years and I'm out of here. But practically, a year or two. Yeah.
And then?
And then
come
I'm not just sort of, yeah.
He'll buy a village.
Find us a nice place there for under 5 million rands, and you'll be very happy. It'll probably be a tent near the market where I saw you. Very nice market that, by the way. Yeah, and then, we've been intending to move to the Kaap for a long time.
Mm.
And we've got a little place also in Blythedale on the north coast. So, I've continued with my motoring, and but it's a long way ahead, Melanie.
And Derek, how come Blythedale?
We've had a
place there. Because I'm from Salt Rock.
Okay, so we bought there 10 years ago, and we thought it would expand rapidly north, the whole developments. But it's been quite slow, but it's hitting Blythedale now, because Belito's overtraded.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
It's just too much.
Yeah. Belito and Umhlanga, hectic.
Umhlanga, And so, Blythedale is a small village.
I remember it well.
Or more dorp, I would say, but it's
a klein dorpie,
yeah.
Nee.
But it's got
there
a beautiful beach.
Beautiful beach, and there was a lovely story.
Of beach. Yeah.
And wild, not like our beaches that is, like sardines with people on. But there was a lovely story either earlier this year or last year where a girl, they got married on the beach, and she went into one of the local petrol stations in her bridal gown. And when she came out, all the locals gathered and sang and somebody videoed it. It was really beautiful, one of those South African moments,
Mm. But where exactly was that? Near Blithedale?
Yes, she had got married on the beach at Blithedale.
Good place to get married, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I like Tinley Manor. Anyway, that's just my thing. It's about the only place I do know up that side, Jenny.
Yeah, we did.
Curry
didn't
there, wasn't there?
Mm.
Yeah.
Very good area. So now, listen. I believe that, I mean, you know, I don't really watch all that much TV. I listen to a lot of podcasts, as I said. So, did you know that Showmax is turning 7?
No.
Can you believe it's 7 years already that Showmax has been going?
And Showmax is the second, is it the second oldest or second most popular? It's a big difference, sorry. It's probably the second oldest African streaming show. And on the App Store, both Google and iStore, it is, it's the highest rated.
Wow.
Equal to one other on each of those, but each of those platforms, but highest rated streaming app.
No, we just need to get Carte Blanche onto it.
Absolutely.
Carte Blanche is on Showmax International.
Yes, but not here.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then just a quick thing, since we were down in Blithedale and the sugarcane and everything. If you remember, a few months ago, Mal, we interviewed Kim Engelbrecht.
Kim Engelbrecht, she's fantastic. Yeah. Have you ever talked to her? She's an actress?
No.
Okay, she's great.
Mm.
And she's really doing well internationally. But one of the things that we touched on with her was a TV series that was about to be shown in Europe and England, Australia, etc., which overseas was called The Canefield Killings. But here it's on Africa. It's Reka, yeah. And you can binge watch that. That's your homework for this week. Binge
well, I remember
watch
that story,
on Showmax.
Though. I remember that story.
Yeah, it was a huge thing.
Yeah, and I think that the guy involved was hanged.
Mm.
But she was a girl at the time, was given a life sentence. And then I went to interview her in prison. And, of course, she'd reformed after, 25 years, whatever, and they showed me around the prison, and it was such a difference as a prison to the men's prisons mm-hmm. I've been in, which obviously are just very rough, and you fear for your life. And they were all taught skills, and she was taught hairdressing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, we were with her. She'd actually been released a few weeks earlier, so she was just showing us around the prison. And then we went to her salon and showed her giving guys a haircut. But that was what I know of those Canefield killings. It was a grim story. I think they were on drugs and they used to lure people out mm-hmm. into the Canefields there. And yeah. We won't go into the details.
No, because you want to watch it on TV.
If you come to Antibes again, there is an island just a 10-minute ferry away where the man in the iron mask was kept in prison there. And I was there just a couple of weeks ago, and it's also a fascinating prison to go in because he was maybe King Louis's, secret twin brother or something. And you can see it's just like a huge room, and he was obviously looked after in luxury except for having the iron mask on, which wouldn't have been fun.
No.
Sure.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask both of you because I don't follow
Sounds
the news.
Dangerous.
I get my news from you guys. What is the big story coming up on Carte Blanche? And then Jenny is also going to tell us what the big story is coming up on SA People for next week.
Okay.
So, have
so
at it.
On Sunday, we're doing a story on Manganese Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what took me from Hotazel to Kabaja.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this has become the new gold. And there are something like 400 trucks coming in from the Northern Cape to the port. And I think it is still called the port of Port Elizabeth, funny
mm-hmm.
enough. But not all of them are covered, and the roads have been destroyed, and this black dust is everywhere. And it's become such a big industry that they're trying to get some control over it. But, I mean, people in Kabaja are really desperate because, the poor people with their yachts at the yacht mall have to clean them every week. Shame, eh?
They had a fire there this last weekend, didn't they? At the marina.
Did they?
Yeah.
It was probably while I was there and I didn't notice. Thought it was just somebody vaping.
No, but, and what are the trucks carrying?
So they are carrying this
manganese.
The problem is that they can't just take the manganese straight to the ships because the ships only pull in every day or two.
Mm.
So they've got to take them to storage depots, which are in an industrial area, and that industrial area is getting overrun with these trucks. You know, it was crazy to see how big this has become.
Mm.
And, so that's the story on it, the possible health hazards of breathing manganese dust.
Mm.
And, you know, so far, there are not many people who are reporting mainly Parkinsonian symptoms, they call them. But, you know, could it be like asbestos? Because for years we thought asbestos is fine. And really, it's only the last 3 years that this has been pumping with the trucks and the dust everywhere. So you might find in the next decade that it becomes
a big health hazard.
And that we let it continue. But yeah, when you go around, do I have to keep saying Kaberge? Just because. but yeah, it is everywhere, the dust. I mean,
so it's going to be manganese otis.
Yeah. So that's in fact, a two-part story, which I did with Kate Barry. Do you remember Kate?
Oh, of course. Kate's wonderful. Yeah. I used to work with her on Front Row. You must give her a big squeeze from me.
I will. And Kate hasn't changed at all. And, yeah, so that's the big one for Sunday.
Excellent. Okay. And, Jenny, what have you got coming up for the story for next week on sapeople.com and going to be plastering it all over Facebook as well, I hope?
Well, we've got the wildflowers because every year everybody goes mad for that, and they're back, and we right today we're downloading amazing photos that have been sent to us by Lauren Bradley, who's at Endro Nature Reserve, we've spoken about before, Nature Farm, sorry, not Reserve. Mm-hmm. She's been featured by the BBC. Her farm is just beautiful. And this year they're even doing glamping as well. So because it's just been so popular, everyone going there for that. So we've got videos and photos of that. Then we've also got a wonderful woman, Jolene Slavitt. About a year ago, one of her posts went viral. She was working in a hospital, and she wrote this kind of thing about how elderly people, children, all the things that they needed in hospital, you know, it could be little things like nail clippers to really wanting a banana or all kinds of things. Anyway, she wrote this beautiful thing. It went viral, and she has spent the last few months delivering to all the hospitals because so many people sent in things afterwards. So she just wrapped up this week delivering everything that was donated as a consequence of her beautiful post.
Oh, lovely. That's a great story.
Yeah.
And my only story that I have is that I did an interview this week with the author of Hold the Line, Kim Nicholas Stevens, who kind of went once again viral on Facebook during lockdown because she just was like really annoyed with everything that was going on, and she started writing. And her writing was so good that everybody loved it so much that they said, put it into a book. So she did. And it's a lovely story. Well, you'd have to listen to the podcast on The Reading Room. Okay, it's another one of my podcast channels. Okay.
So will you send me a list?
I'll send you a link to it, yeah. I'm going to give you some reading and listening things to do.
But Kim, we were one of the first to actually share
to pick up her stories. Done an interview with her about her book, and I really do hope that people actually do go and get the book because it is funny, and it is a message of hope and madness and not much about
and love.
Kele.
That's such a skill to take a subject which could be quite sort of downer and to add the humor and acerbic wit that really makes it readable or listenable.
But it kept us going through. Lockdown.
Audiobook.
No, she hasn't done an audiobook yet. I think she should. I'm going to talk about when she's had a bit of a break. She's like, she wasn't expecting this book to be such a big thing. Of course, she's been on everybody's programs and on TV, and all of a sudden it's just gotten a bit much. But anyway, I mean, it's a lovely book. I have read it. Most of the things, of course, I'd read during lockdown, which kept me going because she was also just locked down with her and her kid, and I was locked down with me and my kids. So we had some things in common. It was a bit hard here, Jenny. You had it a lot easier over in Antibes.
No, but remember, our first 6 weeks were really tough.
Yeah.
When we had to fill in a permission slip to go outside for an hour. So.
Mm.
But then it turned out cool.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I just walk into an airport terminal and I think, geez, mask. I just haven't got used to it, you know. It's just something that has remained with us. Well, but at times you do need a mask, you know. Some of the hospitals you go to, you do need a mask.
Yeah, no, because I'm going where I know that there's people that may be at risk. I would put a mask on into a hospital, into an old age home. If I was flying myself, I'd put a mask on as well. Because
I think on flights these days, there's definitely about 10%.
It was better when there were smokers on aeroplanes because they used to refresh the air all the time. Now they just recycle it because there's no smoking on board, which is why you get all the germs on an aeroplane. I know this because I was an air hostess.
Really?
And a smoker.
What's not saying?
But Derek, that was one of the most interesting things I used to tell Mel. The difference between South Africa and France was that in South Africa they banned smoking and alcohol, and in France they said, but these are essential. So our boulangerie smoke and our tobacco and alcohol places all stayed open. Yeah.
And in restaurants there, can you smoke inside?
You know, people do. You know, everybody who comes here is kind of shocked by how much smoking there is. It is pretty awful. You're not meant to smoke inside. You should smoke outside. But even
we won't stay about that. That's fine. I just think that they should allow smoking on airplanes so we can get fresh air.
And in movies as well.
Yes. No, not in the movies.
But you don't remember that. That was way back.
I remember it well. I remember going in and sitting when we weren't allowed to smoke in movie houses anymore. But it's weird watching movies where you see people smoking in a movie house and you're like, oh my gosh, that was a thing. That's even more bizarre.
Yeah.
Which carte blanche piece made an impact or measurable change to a situation after broadcast?
Just about every one of them
has had some kind of an impact. Why didn't the Zama have it earlier?
So let me tell you one that was out this Sunday. I went to a state hospital in Bethlehem, which a few years ago was called the Hospital of Death. And went and saw the turnaround in that hospital to the belief that, is that the Antibes?
Yes, the fire engines going around.
But it was just incredible to see this hospital where all the healthcare workers were just beaming and keen. And, you know, they get a lot of praise when they do things right. And they just believe the patient comes first. And it had been a total turnaround of that hospital. And I don't say only because of carte blanche, but that's just one of the stories that I've seen. It's the visible impact.
Fantastic. And for you personally, what has been the most difficult investigation you had to be involved in, where you maybe wished you weren't?
I'll tell you that some of them seem simple, but end up not being that simple. And one of them was mineral water, can you believe it? And we did a story on mineral water, which, do you remember Harry Seftal?
Dr. Harry Seftal,
quite a character. We'd found this place in Tembisa bottling water, mineral water, and we did tests on it. And I took the water and the E. coli count to Prof. Harry, and I said, Prof, yeah, this count here of E. coli, what does it really mean? He said, Derek, it means there's cuck in the water. And why I mention that story is because it seemed simple, but it led to a lot of court cases that went on for probably a decade and were eventually thrown out. But a simple story like that can keep our lawyers busy for a long time. And there were a few threats as a result of that story.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And Jenny, you was going to say about the Zama Zama situation. I mean, what are you going to ask about that?
Honestly, it's incredible because your shows last year were so good that it is incredible that didn't have more of an impact sooner.
Jenny, which story are you talking about? About the rapes that happened?
But you guys a year ago already went and investigated the Zama Zama miners and
those murders that have been on the highway. Yeah, of that couple. Yeah,
a couple. And yes.
I was just amazed at the scale of it, of that one mining area near Benoni, where we went in with a guy who buys the gold. and drove around the whole site. And at one stage I said, can I get out and chat to the guys? He said, yeah, sure. And I went and talked to them about, you know, the actual mining underground, how they process, you know, to get the gold out of the ore. And these guys were just quite happy to chat to me out there. But there was also, by that stage, a lot of aggression between them and the Basutu who were on the other side of the hill. So that's where a lot of the fighting was taking place. And, yeah, it was just so unreal to go there because it's an industry. So they charged the Zamas to go in.
Who's they? Like,
well, it's I think they're Congolese. It gets very complicated, but they pay to go in for the day. And then all the traders, because there are hundreds of traders going there, mostly with food and drinks, but also with clothing, handbags. It's like a village. Or should I say village?
A village, yes.
Yeah, and I was just amazed at how casual this gold buyer was. And he explained how the gold that comes out was put onto a rubbish truck. Is it called a rubbish truck or refuse truck? And it was dumped somewhere safely away from the area. No, and unfortunately he was attacked and has passed on.
No, really?
Dangerous game.
Yeah, a lot of the games are a bit dangerous these days. We've got to play it safely.
Yeah,
I suppose. You've got to take care of your stuff as well, hey?
I must get into my specially protected Fiat 500.
We're going to put him into a Superman outfit, okay? I think that would work if you find one long enough.
Fortunately, I test so many cars that so they said put a hit on the guy who drives this little Fiat. Yeah, then I'm driving something completely different. They must think, no, but yeah, it's another guy.
Well, I promise I'm not going to hit you. Okay, so there we go. All right, Jen, we're going to let you get on to it. Of course, for those of you who have stayed with us this long and have enjoyed it, you can find out more wonderful news stories and good news stories, of course, on sapeople.com. And we will keep you apprised of what's happening with the Carte Blanche podcast as well. Hope they'll have a bit of reciprocity happening on their side. I'm sure they will.
I think it'll work perfectly, and yeah, Carte Blanche, the podcast, is here to stay.
Excellent.
I'm so glad about that. I think it's the best news we've had all year. Of all our good news, the Carte Blanche podcast is it.
Apart from those flowers.
The flowers rock. I wish I was going down there now. Oh, I'm so envious. Anyhow, Derek, thank you very much for spending some time with us today. It's really
fun, Mel. Great to see you again and to be with Jenny. And Jenny, you say we can come and stay anytime.
Of course.
You know what? Maybe 3 months or so, not very long. How many rooms have you got?
It depends on whether her children are home or not.
We'd love it. Anybody, we get so many South Africans. You can ask Mal. I have South Africans all the time here. Even South Africans I don't even know. At least you, I know.
Get an extra long bed in,
Yeah, you need a look. I always forget how tall he is, by the way. I think maybe it's just because I forget how short I am, which is a problem. But anyway.
Well, I used to be called the Kalahari Kid.
Why?
Miles and miles of airfall.
And on that note, we're going to bid you a fond adieu. Jenny will catch up again next week. And, well, everybody, go and subscribe, as Derek said, to the Carte Blanche podcast. And we will catch up with you again real soon. Just share your stories, good news and views, and, of course, the views from your window. We'd be loving to see what you have that's making you happy. We'll catch you again next time. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
Hi, my name's Derek Watts, and you've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcast.